Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and today we have a good one. Today we are joined by Noah from the Walking Bucket Podcast. So today we talk about everything going on in the NBA. Last time we spoke, it was about almost 2 weeks ago, so I do apologize about that. But in this episode, we talk about everything going on. We talk about teams that are doing well, teams that are not doing so well. We talk about some drama going on in the NBA. We talk about what's going on with Harden, Damian Lillard, Trae Young. So we cover a lot in this pod, so I hope you guys really enjoy it. Also, if you can, please go listen to the Walking Bucket Podcast. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And also, if you want to give them a follow on Twitter, they are at the Walking Buck Pod on Twitter. So go ahead and give them a follow. So yeah, I hope you guys really enjoy this conversation me and Noah had. And enjoy. Okay, so here we are with Noah from the Walking Bucket Podcast. Noah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I'm doing well. So this is our first time working together, so I'm really excited about that. So let's go ahead. First off, where can everyone hear your podcast?
Yeah, for sure. So we're on all the platforms, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. You can find us there, the Walking Bucket Podcast on Twitter at Walking Buck Pod, to be specific. We're just getting started. We rebranded me and one of my friends. So it's a good time talking about NBA. Glad to be on here talking about NBA as well. Thank you for the shameless plug. Appreciate it.
Of course. All right. So let's just go ahead and get started. So first off, let's start with the Lakers. So the Lakers are, you know, they're looking not so tough right now. No one's really scared of them. They are in eighth place. So they are actually still in that playoff picture. Surprisingly, they're at 6-5. LeBron is now out for about 4 to 8 weeks due to an abdominal injury. AD is looking, you know, sometimes he looks good, sometimes not. You know, he's a little soft, some people say. And Russell Westbrook, he just has a whole lot of turnovers, you know, kind of stat padding. So yeah, they're not looking too good. So right now, let's go ahead. And first off, let's also say they also have some people that are out in Kendrick Nunn, Taylor Horton Tucker, Trevor Ariza. So they still have that to work with. But right now, they're just not looking too good. What do you think about the Lakers right now?
Yeah, I'm not too worried. I mean, we say they're not starting out too great. They're 6-5, and that's 1.5 games out of second place in the West. So yes, we could panic about their like contending for championships, but I think they'll be okay. Russ going to new teams, they always start slow. LeBron will come back, and regardless, they'll most likely be the favorite in whatever first-round series they're in that happened last year. They were in the play-in game and were still the favorites over the Suns, who ended up making the finals. So I think when you have LeBron on your team, I'm not ready to write him off yet. Obviously, injuries are the big issue, but I think he'll come back. And I mean, I still have them preseason. I didn't have them making the finals, but I still have them being able to make some noise. I'll have to get back to you on that around the All-Star break to really make my, if I will see if I was right or wrong, but I still think they'll be okay. I don't write LeBron off this early.
True. You can't do that. So the only thing that's alarming to me right now is that, yeah, they have 6 wins, but none of those wins are really dominant. You know, they only scored 95 points on the Rockets the other night. You know, last night they barely pulled out an overtime win against the Hornets. And Russell Westbrook, man, I hate to say it, but he is shooting really badly. His turnovers, I know that, you know, Harden is also in that picture. And some other players, but, you know, Russell Westbrook right now, especially with LeBron out, you know, they're really going to have to, you know, rely on him a lot. And right now he's just not being efficient. He's, like I said, turning over the ball and really dumb plays. You know, and also when the big three has been together, they have a plus minus of 0.
So, I mean, they're just not, obviously they still have a lot of time to work with each other. We're only about 10, well, they're about 11 games into the season. But, you know, Avery Bradley is playing like 30 minutes a game sometimes. Austin Reeves is playing fourth quarter minutes. So, I mean, I don't know. They just, and also Melo, you know, they're relying on him a lot. He's playing great. Kudos to him. He's shooting the ball excellently, especially in Staples Center. But, you know, it is a little alarming. And their team is, you know, really old. And the one thing about Russell Westbrook is that he plays at a pace that's about 100 miles an hour. And, you know, a team that's, you know, old, you know, that's, you know, he needs to work with them so that they can flow. And so right now there's just no flow. So that's the only thing that really has me worried. Now they are also awful in offensive transition. They have no hybrid big that LeBron really likes at the four, obviously. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that, you know, kind of are red flags to me. But like you said, you know, there's still a lot of time left. Now LeBron is out, like I said, 4 to 8 weeks with that abdominal injury. So do you think that Russell Westbrook and AD, do you think that they can keep it afloat, at least, you know, stay in that playoff picture?
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll stay afloat. I think that the plus minus stats are weird this early in the season. You can kind of use them to tell a bunch of different stories. I mean, particularly if you look at the Mavs, for example, Luka looks like the worst player on the team if you look at plus minus. So it's a trap that we can fall into. And I think Russ said it best himself. I'm not the biggest fan of his. Like, I don't think he's a championship point guard, but he said, like, for lack, I don't know the exact quote, but he said, this is what I do. I go to a new place. We don't do so well in the beginning, and then we turn it around. So I think at the end of the day, when you have injuries, your best player is out. It doesn't matter what you win by or how you win by. You just find ways to win. Obviously, the shooting is going to have to improve. And to counter your point about, like, the hybrid big with LeBron, like, AD can play basically any position. So assuming they're all healthy, I think they'll figure it out. I don't think they're going to be a top team in the West in the regular season. And even if everyone was healthy, I didn't think they would, just because when you have a team that's won titles and a LeBron team at this stage in the career, like, they're not taking the regular season as seriously. Now, there could be some points for concern. I think they're going to have to rely on guys, like you said, if those guys are hitting shots. It's just going to be an adjustment period. And I think what we could see them in the play-in picture by the time LeBron comes back. And I don't think that's a recipe for probably a first round exit, but they'll be favored. And AD has to stay healthy. He's the key. I think he's more of the key than Westbrook.
Yep. Definitely agree there. Now, one other thing that does have me concerned, though, is that, you know, this part of the season right now, if you look at their schedule, it's been a really easy schedule. They've played against, you know, the Rockets, the Spurs, you know, OKC, which they lost twice to. And even in that easy schedule, they're still 6-5. So here down the line is where they're going to start playing, you know, obviously the harder teams. So, you know, that's the only thing that has me concerned. Also, Russ, you know, I hate to harp on him so much, but I mean, he's making 64.2% of his free throws. That ranks 99th out of 103 qualifying players. He's shooting 25.6% from three, which ranks 147th out of 157 qualifying players. And he's shooting 41.8% from the field, which ranks 105 out of 136. So, you know, that's the only thing that has me concerned, because he also shoots at high volumes. So, you know, that's what hurts him. Like I said, the turnovers and then his bad shot making and shot decision making. So that is one thing that, you know, those are a couple things that have me concerned. But yeah, I agree. If they stay, you know, with AD, if AD can stay on track, you know, put in the work, make good shots, I think that they should stay at least afloat while LeBron is out. Is there anything else that you want to add about the Lakers?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't think they're not a top championship contender right now, which maybe people thought they would be before the season. I personally was a little lower on them. I still thought they'd be in the mix, but they'll be okay.
Yeah,
just
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Coming into the season, I didn't think that they'd go to the finals. I obviously thought that they, you know, be competitive and, you know, get pretty deep into the playoffs, but I did not see them going to the finals. Okay, so next up we have, you know, something that happened last night between Nikola Jokic and Markieff Morris. Now, Markieff, you know, at the end of the, well, towards the end of the game, Markieff did a hard foul on Jokic, where he kind of, you know, he went at his ribs and kind of really hit him really hard. And then Jokic did not like that. As soon as Markieff hit him, Markieff turned around, so he turned his back towards him. And then Jokic kind of pushed him really hard, where he hit the floor and he was down there for a while. Now, he did just get a one-game suspension. Jokic did. Markieff Morris got a $50,000 fine, and Jimmy Butler got a $30,000 fine. Now, also, the Morris twins have been going at it with the Jokic brothers on Twitter, so it's kind of like a little WWE scene right there. So looking at the suspension, the fines, do you agree with the outcome, or what do you think about that whole situation?
I'm surprised that he only got one game. I don't think that there's really a place for that in the game, and it kind of sucks that it happened, that Jokic did it. On the other hand, if the roles were reversed, so let's say the first foul that Markieff did on Jokic, let's say Jokic did that to Markieff, Markeef's not getting up.
Yeah.
He's not getting up. Yeah. So to me, what I started watching in the video was, A, the first foul was super dirty. The second foul was just way dirtier. And we talk about this a lot, like the second person is usually the one who gets more in trouble. In this case, the second person was worse. What I was watching in the video a couple hours later was where everyone else on the Nuggets was and what they were doing. So when my best player gets whacked, cheap shot by Markieff Morris, Jokic shouldn't have to turn around and go do something. Aaron Gordon's just walking around towards the bench. Will Barton's just, those other guys should be defending him first and going up to Markieff, just like Jimmy Butler was doing for Markieff. Mm-hmm. It should be like Will Barton or whoever is getting a one game suspension, because they put themselves on the line for Jokic, not Jokic needing to defend himself, even though, you know, good for him for doing so. That's my overall thoughts, though.
Yeah, I agree. I saw Aaron Gordon right there. He was just watching the whole time. He didn't even really have a reaction on his face, which I thought was weird. But yeah, I agree. That's why you have those certain guys on the team that, you know, kind of step up, especially for your star players. And then in this case, the reigning MVP. You know, but I thought it was good, in my opinion, good for Jokic, you know, standing up for himself. He shouldn't allow people to, you know, be pushing him around like that, especially the Morris twins. Me as a Mavs fan, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of them. But yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. It should have definitely been someone like maybe not Aaron Gordon, but, you know, like a Will Barton, a Monte Morris, you know, some guy like that stepping up for Jokic. And Jokic shouldn't be the one, even though he was the one pushed, he shouldn't be the one getting the suspension. Okay, so next up, we also have in the news Ben Simmons again. This time, it's in the news that the Celtics are actually interested in Ben. Now, reports say that Philly will not hear any deals unless it includes Jaylen Brown. Now, looking at the Celtics, they have been struggling. Right now, they are at 4-6. They're at the bottom of their division. They're only better than Detroit, Orlando, Indiana, and Atlanta. So that's kind of a bad thing there. Also, the Sixers, they're looking good. You know, they have an 8-3 record after losing tonight. They're shooting the ball well. Seth Curry's on fire. Their top offensive efficiency, you know, their schedule has also been pretty favorable, you know, playing pretty easy teams with exception of like two or three there. And still they're having the Ben Simmons, you know, fiasco where they're having to find Simmons, and Simmons is saying that he has mental issues going on. That's why he's not able to play. So looking at the Ben Simmons for Jaylen Brown situation, do you think that would be a good trade for both teams, or what do you think on that?
I think it would be great for the Sixers. I don't think there's any chance that it happens. My take on this is that Daryl Morey called the Celtics and said, hey, you guys are having some issues. We're having some issues. Let's try to fix this. Let's do Simmons for Brown. And then the Celtics hung up the phone, and then Morey, trying to raise Simmons' value, leaked to the press that there were discussions around Simmons or Brown to raise Simmons' value. That's what I think happened. I don't think there's any way that anything of the sort will ever transpire, because I think it would be dumb for the Celtics unless they got... I think the Celtics will make a move. I think the Celtics have their own issues in that Dennis Schroeder is awful and he's taking like the most shots on the team, which is a problem. And then Jason Tatum has decreased his volume of shots at the rim from 24.7 to for career average to 17.4% shots at the rim right now. And of those shots, he went from shooting 68% at the rim to 49% at the rim.
Wow.
And I think part of that is that he's just getting used to a new offense. I'm trying to be patient with a new coach for the Mavs, so I'll give them benefit of the doubt, new coach, new offense. I think that there is a 0% chance that a Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons trade happens. And I think it would be bad for the Celtics.
Yeah, I like that theory a lot, your Daryl Morey theory. And yeah, that could totally be plausible. Now, I think that this would be a good trade for the Sixers. Obviously, they would get some scoring, which is, you know, at least they'd get someone who takes shots in Jaylen Brown, which we know he's not shy in that department. Now, for the Celtics, they've always had this problem around point guards, right? They don't get, with exception of Kemba Walker, but he got, you know, kind of, you know, injured. Same with Kyrie Irving. I've always said for the longest time now that the Celtics, that's where point guards kind of go to die. You know, Isaiah Thomas, they kind of screwed him. Kyrie Irving obviously left. That was pretty much on him. But Kemba Walker went. He had those injuries. Now he's in New York, thriving. He's actually doing pretty well. But yeah, I think that the Celtics need some guy like Ben Simmons. I don't think that Ben Simmons is a perfect match, but I think that that would definitely help them. Now their scoring would obviously go way down. I mean, Jaylen Brown is, you know, one of their top two scorers. So, I mean, so yeah, I don't know about that, but I also agree with you. You know, Jason Tatum has also looked really off. That whole team has just looked not good. And, you know, I'm also like you, I'm going to give Ime Udoka, you know, my doubts. I want to see him do well. And, you know, whenever you have a new system in play, you know, you have to give it some time. So I agree with you there. But yeah, that, I think the Celtics definitely need to look for some sort of point guard. But I don't know if Ben Simmons is the right guy. Now, like I said, Jaylen Brown would look awesome in Philly. I think him next to Embiid would really look great, along with Seth Curry right behind him. Tobias Harris. So I think it would look really good in that, from that standpoint. Is there anything else that you want to add on the Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown situation?
I think it's more likely that the Celtics move Marcus Smart to get a type of guy that you're talking about. There were reports that Smart and Danny Ainge were really good friends, and now that Danny Ainge is gone and Smart is stirring up beef in the locker room, it could be that he's one of the guys that they move. This is also another one of my own conspiracy theories, though there's no validity to that.
I agree. Plus, you know, Marcus Smart, he's kind of been like that Miles Turner type of player for the last couple of years, where he's always kind of been involved in some sort of trade rumors. But yeah, I mean, Marcus Smart kind of stirring the pot, the whole thing, you know, telling the press that, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum need to pass the ball more. Definitely odd, but the Celtics haven't been doing well, so they obviously need to do something to help their team. Okay, so now let's go ahead and let's talk about Harden real quick. So Harden, he's been having some, you know, playing struggles. Now, what's interesting, the Nets, while KD and Harden are on the floor, they're a -5. But whenever Harden is off the floor and KD is on the floor, they're plus 28 points for 100 possessions. So, you know, something's been going on with Harden. You know, he's shooting 7.3, last season he was shooting 7.3 free throw attempts. This season only 4.6. As we know, he has been having trouble getting those foul calls in his favor. So he has just looked off completely. He's shooting 39.9% from the field, only 18.3 points per game. So looking at Harden, what do you have any of your conspiracies regarding Harden?
I actually am less concerned about Harden. I think if you look at from the time that he was injured and playing like a shell of himself, just to help the Nets out in the Eastern Conference Finals to the beginning of the season, he was rehabbing all summer and didn't really play a lot of basketball, and especially at NBA speeds. And so, and I've noticed that they're letting a lot more hand checks get away. So those aren't fouls that he's like actively trying to get in the past. Those are different ones that I think Luka's also struggling with too, trying to get by people to go to the rim. They have similar styles of play, not that they're the same player, but just someone I watch more often. And I think the promising thing about Harden is that his three-point shot is still really solid. He's shooting 40%, and his effective field goal percentage is also over 50, partially because the threes are falling. So I think as the threes continue to fall, it'll open up more for his game. Who knows what's going on with this new ball, but I think that he'll be okay. He's still putting up other, like his assists and rebounds are still up there. Like he's still impacting the game. I think the Nets are also integrating a lot of new guys and they're trying out a lot of lineups. Like they do some Bruce Brown, they do some Nick Claxton. I think it's more him playing himself back into shape, and he needs that shape to be able to blow by people. And he'll adjust. I think he's still one of the best players in the NBA. So just because they're not calling those fouls, he'll stop and he'll do something else because he's that good.
Yeah, I agree. I've also, you know, a lot of people have been kind of freaking out about James Harden. I'm not one of those people. I'm kind of right there with you. I think that he will figure it out. Now, the whole thing where he's not getting foul calls, you know, usually he would, you know, try and get fouled and he wouldn't really try and continue to, you know, try and go to the basket and score. So I think he just needs to work on, you know, just trying to finish the play, you know. Maybe he tries to get fouled, but he needs to finish that play while he goes to the rim. So I think that's just one thing. Also, he's, you know, been coming back from his hamstring. And like you said, the new ball. I mean, I don't know what's been going on, but, you know, between the new ball and the, you know, the refs, you know, not calling those plays where, you know, the player would jump into the defender – you know, Lillard is another one of those guys. Trae Young is another one of those guys. All those guys, you know, between Harden, Lillard, and Trae, their points per game are down. Their free throw attempts are down. So I agree. Now another guy is Lillard. You know, he's really been struggling. You know, he's only scoring, you know, 18.5 points per game. He went from shooting 7.2 free throw attempts to 3.4 this season. He's shooting only 24.7% from three and just 35.1% from the field. Now, I don't know what's been going on with him. You could say the new ball, but, you know, really, he's been struggling since the Olympics. You know, he did have an injury there. And since then, he just has not been shooting well. I mean, what is there anything, you know, any theories that you have on Lillard and what's going on with him?
Yeah, I think Lillard's different than Harden. Harden, at least, his threes are falling. He's happy in Brooklyn. Lillard, on the other hand, I think that every day that goes by, I'll be more and more surprised if he ends the season on the Blazers. I don't know what the trade will be, but it seems that he asked – there was a Chris Haynes report. Chris Haynes started his career as a beat writer in Portland. So him and Lillard have some sort of connection there, but I think he wants to stay in Portland, but they're making it increasingly difficult. And I don't know that think that that's why he's playing bad. I just think that he's shooting the ball poorly and he's still taking a ton of threes, which he should. And I just don't like their roster. I don't think it got any better. I think people overvalued the Larry Nance acquisition. And he'll jump out of this shooting slump. He's still really good. I don't think it has to do with the ball. Could be new offense, frustration. He's in his own head. Like you said, the Olympics were bad for him. I don't know what's going on with him. I just think that Portland is a mess, and I don't know how they win a first round series again, or I see them in the play-in.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's been a lot going on in Portland, you know, between Lillard, you know, kind of, you know, trying to decide if he wants to stay or go. Obviously, he wants to stay, you know, with every report, you know, he seems to emphasize on the fact that he wants to stay. But at the same time, he wants to compete. And, you know, the Blazers are kind of, you know, one of those teams that, you know, every season they make some sort of change, but it's kind of a lateral change. You know, it doesn't, you know, help them, doesn't really make them any worse. So I think that, you know, really they need to do something drastic. I think that they probably need to think about moving CJ McCollum. I don't know if getting Ben Simmons is something that would help them. I'm of the mind that, you know, I would not go for Ben Simmons if I was Portland. I don't know what you think on that situation. Yeah, let me go ahead and ask you that. What do you think of Ben Simmons, you know, joining Lillard in Portland?
I think it's a desperation move. I don't think it makes them much better. Like, it doesn't move the needle that much, but they can do it. And then maybe it buys them more time where, like, we're trying something new to Dame. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It would just be another one of those lateral moves. And then also, I'm also just not the biggest Ben Simmons fan. You know, call me crazy, but I want my players to shoot. But okay, so that's pretty much that. Now let's go ahead and talk about the Warriors. Now they have been really impressive. They're 9-1. They're the best team in the league right now. They're number 5 in offensive rating, scoring around 111.4 points per game. They're first in threes, first in assists, third in rebounds, third in steals, third in field goal percentage, second in three-point percentage, second in field goal percentage allowed, third in three-point percentage allowed. Then they also have Klay and Wiseman that are still not back, so they're going to get to have them back sometime this season. Klay, I believe they said that they're shooting around late December or January. I don't think that they'll be back probably till around February. But, you know, like I said, James Wiseman. And then they also have assets that they could use in a big trade in case they really need to do that. Now, I don't think that they need to do that right now because they look awesome. But, yeah, the Warriors are just one of those teams. And then also another thing, Steph Curry isn't really shooting that well. So, you know, that's even more impressive. So do you think that the Warriors can, you know, stay on this path? Do you think that they'll be, you know, one of the best teams in the league? And how far do you see them going in the playoffs?
They were my preseason finals pick from the West. So I thought they were going to come out of the West. And I think one stat that I don't know if you mentioned was, I believe through the first 10 games, they were number 1 in defensive rating, mm-hmm. which I believe is actually more impressive for them than the offensive stats, because a team with Steph, you know that they're going to shoot the ball well, even though he's not shooting well. You know that their offense is going to run well with the guys that know how to run Kerr's system, with Iggy coming back. And then I went to Michigan, so I'm a huge Jordan Poole fan. I've always seen him play with the swag and the love for the game, and now it's translating over to the NBA. I think he had 3 games in a row this past week, over 25 points, slowed down a bit in Atlanta the other night, but Steph turned it up that game. I think they have a ton of versatile pieces and buy-in again. I think I really like Draymond, and I actually really dislike him, but I think he's the perfect player for this system, and actually the type of player that I would want on the Mavs. I think that the teams that have a 5-man or a screener that can catch the ball in the short roll and do something with it, are the ones with the best offenses. So the Mavs, for example, they screen with Powell and then they double Luka and he has to pass at the free throw line extended to Powell, who can't shoot, can't drive, and can't pass from there. Draymond can at least do like 2.5 of those things. The Blazers don't really have that either. The Nets set the screen and then it's like Bruce Brown, who can at least drive and attack, or KD sets a screen. Like, so I think that the short role big man is like a huge deal in the NBA, and the Warriors have that with Draymond. They can switch everything. They know how to hide Steph on D, and Klay will only come back, and then they still have all these pieces, like you said. I think that they're a huge contender. I buy everything that's going on right now with them.
Yeah, 100% agree. They look special this season. Okay, and then just to finish this off, since we're both Mavs fans, let's just have a quick, you know, discussion about them. I'll let you go first. What do you think about the Mavs so far this season? Do you like what you're seeing? You know, are there any red flags? What are you seeing in them?
The first 5 games, I didn't enjoy watching. It was like painful. And then I think I just got used to it and desensitized to my hatred for Kidd and the rotations and the offense. And then I transitioned into the phase where I was annoyed at the front office for the roster construction. And now I'm at the optimistic phase of things where we're 7-3 and we're awful with a top 5 player in the league on the floor. And our second best player, who I also hope we trade eventually, Porzingis, who actually might not be our second best player anymore, I wasn't even playing. So given everything, the shooting, the terrible performances against playoff teams, like we beat everyone we were supposed to beat. And last season, early in the year, we lost to a terrible Bulls team. We lost every game to the Kings. Like, we couldn't even beat the teams on our schedule we were supposed to beat. And we started off significantly worse and we had injuries. And there's a lot of things I'm like surprised, like happily surprised with Frank Ntilikina. I'm surprised
I'm loving Frank.
Brunson, I'm really happy with. Like, I just think I'm going to get sucked into believing that we can maybe win a first round series. I think that Luka will carry us to 50 wins easily just because he's that good. So like being a top 5 seed is not a question to me. I realized that I think it was maybe Tim Cato that put out that for all of you guys that are annoyed that we're not doing the same things as we were last year, we saw that the same things we did last year only got us to a certain point. So like we have to try something new. Because otherwise, how do we know if we can get any further? So I'm trying to be patient with the new. I just am annoyed that our roster is the same because that's what really limits us.
Yeah. The whole having the same starting lineup pretty much for the last 3 seasons is just really annoying. Someone needs to tell, you know, Mark Cuban what the definition of insanity is. but yeah, I 100% agree with everything you said. The first, I don't know, 5-6 games were just extremely frustrating. I don't know how we pulled out, you know, some of those wins, but we did. You know, I was not positive about the Mavs at all to start the season. And then, like I said, those first 5-6 games, you know, I just wasn't happy with what I was seeing. Then, you know, with Porzingis, the fact that, you know, everyone was hyping him up saying, you know, this offseason he's finally healthy, he's going to come back, you know, better than ever. And, you know, I think it was the second game or maybe third game that, you know, he got injured and missed like 6 games. So that was just really annoying. And, you know, but Jalen Brunson has looked awesome. You know, those 2 games where Kidd, you know, inserted him into the starting lineup was just incredible. The last game they did not start him because of Porzingis, but you know, he still played great. Porzingis that first game back did look great. He, I believe, had 21 points, 8 rebounds, but he also had like 2 or 3 steals along with like another block or 2. So he just looked great. And, you know, that block just came, you know, at the perfect time to win us that game against the Celtics. And also, I just got to say, that was awesome watching Luka hit that three over Josh Richardson. That was just poetic to me. But yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, Dwight Powell is just frustrating. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't know what he's doing out there. I don't know why he's out there. I'd rather see, you know, Moses Brown at least. You know, if Moses Brown is going to make mistakes, I think I would rather live with watching Moses Brown's make the mistakes on the floor rather than Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, Moses Brown was huge for OKC. You know, obviously they didn't win a ton, but, you know, he still had an impact for them. I believe he played like 20 minutes or so. But, you know, he averaged a couple blocks, I think, you know, rebounding really well. You know, he was just really great for OKC. And I think that he can, you know, really be impactful for the Mavs. You know, I'm not a big fan of Dwight Powell just because, you know, like you said, he's really limited on what he can do. He is great, you know, on pick and roll sometimes with Luka. You know, he's obviously good at, you know, catching lobs and stuff. But other than that, you know, there's not much he does. Especially defensively, you know, whenever, like the other night we saw him against Jonas Valanciunas, he was just getting, you know, manhandled down there on the block. But yeah, I agree. You know, Luka, I think, will definitely carry us to about 50 wins or so just on that alone. But hopefully, you know, Jalen Brunson can, you know, keep up his play. Hopefully Porzingis can, you know, at least stay in games and play for us. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic so far. 7-3, we're third in the West. What seed do you see the Mavs ending with at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think all of our big men are terrible, like every single one. And except I don't think Porzingis is terrible. I think he's not ideal, but I don't think he's terrible. I think the main issue is that we haven't beaten one playoff team really yet, other than maybe Boston. I'm really not high on Moses Brown right now, I think, as compared to what I see on the internet. But I think that last year we were awful to start the year and we were the fifth seed. And I think that although our roster and overall everything improved by marginally at least 5%, which in the grand scheme of things is nothing. So, but in terms of what our expectations should be, I don't see anything below. I see us in the 4-6 range. Again, we were tied, all of us, at the end of the season, those records. But I see the same range, definitely not playing and fighting for a home playoff series.
Yep. And just to clarify, you know, I'm not saying that Moses Brown is our savior. I'm just comparing him to Willie Cauley-Stein and Dwight Powell. So, you know, that's not saying much, but, you know, hopefully it can be at least a little better than that. But, you know, with him not getting, you know, many minutes, you know, that doesn't say much at all.
Right.
And also, like you said, Frank Ntilikina, I am so happy with him right now. I can see why the Knicks loved him. You know, he's just got a factor that, you know, he's really likable, and also he makes really smart plays so far for the Mavs. You know, he makes good decisions. His shots are, you know, not bad shots. And, you know, from what I can tell, he's really improved on three-point shooting and his two-point shooting. So it looks really good on the Mavs, and I like him, you know, in that backup role. All right, so I think that is pretty much it. Is there anything else that you would want to talk about or add?
No, hopefully we beat the Bulls. It'll be a good test, a playoff team. I really like the Bulls. I think they're really fun to watch. So I'm excited to watch that game.
Agreed. Let me also just bring up the Wizards. The Wizards are 7-3. You know, all this while, you know, Bradley Beal is not shooting the ball well yet, but, you know, they're doing well. Their defense this season is fifth. And, you know, they were I think they were second worst last season. So, you know, they really improved in that department. You know, the ex-Lakers are thriving, obviously, in Montrezl Harrell, in Kyle Kuzma, who's averaging around 12 rebounds a game. The Dinwiddie pick and roll is looking really good. They still have Rui Hachimura, who's out with personal issues, and then Thomas Bryant, who's out with the ACL. So I don't know when he'll come back. But they just have great depth, and, you know, they're efficient rebounding and, you know, low turnovers. So they look really good. I just think the Wizards are really improved, and I see them, you know, when they first started out, you know, kind of getting these wins, I didn't have much faith. You know, I thought that they would kind of come back to reality, and I thought that they'd probably end maybe play in, or, you know, 7 or 8 seed at best. Now I see them 4th or 5th, maybe even 3rd in a really, you know, ideal world for Wizards fans. How do you see the Wizards doing this season?
I actually went to the game. I saw them play the Celtics, that double overtime game. I wasn't there in person. Oh. I really like the Wizards, but for a lot of the reasons that you said, I still don't see them. I still see them in the play-in, maybe.
Oh, really?
I still think it's clearly net. I don't see them being higher than Nets, Bucks, Heat, Bulls, Hawks. Maybe, yeah, definitely not those 5. I mean, maybe they could jump the Celtics. Looks like it, but the Knicks are still solid. But I see them in, like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 range, 7 through 10, probably. I really like them. I think they're fun to watch. And Dinwiddie has been solid. Montrezl Harrell has been unreal. We'll see how a lot of that translates over to playoffs, because we've seen, and meaningful games, we've seen Montrez be Sixth Man of the Year, be super impactful in the regular season, and then get played off the floor in meaningful basketball. So we'll see. They have a lot of the pieces. They're probably like one star away from being a contender, but so is almost every team in the league.
Yeah. Okay. And then just lastly, real quick, one West, one East team. Who has been, obviously, let's start with the West. So in the Western Conference, which team has, you know, surprised you, whether it's how well they're playing or, you know, how disappointing there are, which team, you know, really stands out to you?
The team that stands out to me, I will go with, I'm going to go with the Timberwolves. I actually wasn't fairly surprised, but I thought that I was just being negative, and all the hype I was seeing for them as this is finally going to be their year. You know, D'Lo and Kat are healthy together. McDaniels is the perfect piece. Anthony Edwards started rounding out into form. New coach, this and that. I think they're this, like, the same team they've been. And they should stop everything they're doing and trade whatever they have for Ben Simmons and just try something new, because it's getting to me. It's like they're trying the same thing over and over again. And even in a perfect world scenario with their roster, they're a play-in team at best. So they should change it up, like D'Lo and whoever else. As long as you keep Kat and Anthony Edwards, maybe you can add Simmons. And, you know, it could be something new, something exciting. I just still don't see it. And I'm not that surprised, but I think the people around the league might be more surprised that they're struggling.
Yeah, I remember hearing the hype, you know, not that they were saying that, you know, they were going to be this really good team, but, you know, they thought they'd be in the mix, you know, at least, you know, play in or late playoff spot. But yeah, I mean, and another thing, you know, Kat is shooting around 16 shots a game, and he's shooting 49% on threes on 2 fewer shots. So, I mean, that's even more impressive. But, you know, when you have a guy like Kat, he needs to shoot more than 16 shots a game. But Anthony Edwards looks awesome. I never liked that D'Lo, you know, inserting D'Lo into that lineup. I just never liked that. So I think that they need to trade him. The problem is, you know, if they do another rebuild, even though they're literally in a rebuild right now, but if they need to rebuild their rebuild, you know, what is Cat going to do? You know, he's probably going to want to end up leaving at some point if he sees, you know, that they're not going anywhere. So, you know, that's the only thing. So for me in the West, I'm going to have to go ahead and say, not that it's really a surprise, but I'm just going to say the Pelicans. You know, they're 1-10. I don't know what's going on with them. Really, I picked the Pelicans because I just don't understand what they're doing. You know, David Griffin, you know, trading Lonzo, I didn't understand that. Trading Drew Holiday, I didn't understand that. Everything going on with Zion is just a huge red flag. Zion looks completely out of shape. I don't know if you saw the video of him where he was working out before the game. But yeah, he just looks just not in shape at all. And that team, it just doesn't make sense to me. I think that Valanciunas, they should probably trade him, get some, you know, worth out of him. He's a great player. I mean, if they do end up trying to trade him, I hope the Mavericks jump on that. Because I love Valanciunas, always have. But yeah, I'm just going to have to say the Pelicans just because there's really no improvement. It actually looks way worse than it did. And, you know, like I said, David Griffin, I have no clue what his plan is, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, and your team in the East?
I will go with the Raptors. I thought that I didn't think Scottie Barnes would be this good this quickly. I thought they would kind of be around what they were last year, and they seem to be a mess with who knows, is Siakam, are we going to trade him, are we in the Simmons mix, like can we survive with this lineup, are we tanking, like what's going on? And I think that they have, when I watch them, they have the pieces that I really like their team. I like OG, I like Scottie Barnes, I like Gary Trent. Those are all three switchable wings on defense, which every team wants, and they're super hard to come by. And in a couple of years, those could be three of the best at that position. Fred VanVleet's a solid creator. I don't love Siakam anymore, but I think that they're really solid, and I think they're a play-in team that they weren't last year. So I'm surprised at how good Scottie Barnes has been so fast, and in turn, how good the Raptors have been. I thought it was going to take some more time. They're not anything special, but better than I thought they'd look.
Yeah, I agree. They look way better than I thought. And yeah, Scottie Barnes, just he looks completely NBA ready and just really impactful so far. And for me in the East, I'm going to have to go with the Cavs. You know, they have a 7-4 record. They're beating good teams. They won on the road, and they won 5 out of those 8 games on the road. So 5-3 record, you know, you'd look at that, and that's not a big deal. But for the Cavs, I think it is. Colin Sexton, unfortunately, he just tore his meniscus, so who knows how long he's going to be out. And just really unfortunate because, you know, he was obviously playing for that contract extension. He was looking for somewhere probably around $140 million. And now who knows, you know, what's going to happen with that. Evan Mobley has looked incredible. You know, he had 26 points against the Knicks, but he was doing absolutely just, he's everywhere and he's contesting so many shots. He's just an incredible player. You know, Ricky Rubio has looked great. He made 8 out of 9 threes the other night. So, yeah, I mean, I think like they just look incredible. And, you know, the Cavs are also 10th in offense after being 28th last year. So moving 18 spots, that's pretty unheard of. So good for them. All right. And I think that that is it for this episode. Is there anything else that you want to add here for the listeners to hear?
No, I think that's it. Great doing this. Thanks for having me on. Shout out to this podcast. Shout out to my podcast, Walking Bucket. There's a lot of good stuff out there on the internet. Good to collab and get this going, and hope everyone enjoys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully, you know, we do a lot more of these. And again, where, just for the listeners to hear, where can they listen to your podcast?
Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at Walking Buck Pod, or if you're spontaneous, you can follow me too at NoahR56. You may have some trouble finding me, but I'm there. Don't worry.
Awesome. So thank you so much, Noah. Like I said, it was really fun having you on. Hopefully we can do a lot more of these together here this season and in the future. So I just want to thank you. And again, that's the Walking Bucket Podcast. Noah, thank you so much for coming on. You were great. And hopefully we get to talk soon.
Thanks.
All right, man. Have a good night.
All right, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode between me and Noah. Again, I want to give a big thank you to the Walking Bucket Podcast. Everyone, please go listen to them. They are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can listen to your podcast. Also, give them a follow on Twitter. They are at the Walking Buck Pod on Twitter, so give them a follow. And also us, the Big Shot Pod. Again, you can find us on Twitter at the Big Shot Pod. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, please give us a follow, send us a message, mention us, whatever you got to do to get our attention. We will see it and we will address it here on the next podcast. The next episode will be Saturday night, so keep an eye out for that. Also, we are in the works trying to organize an episode between me, the Walking Bucket Podcast, and our friends at Clutch Talk. You guys know that those are always fun with Clutch Talk, so yeah. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, once again, I want to say thank you to everyone here. Again, I am your host, Cha Babaja, and thank you for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everyone. How do you know, man?